Hello, welcome to Walking on Eggshells. My name is Diane Jones. I work for a domestic abuse service on Merseyside called The Crossing Point. This programme is dedicated to Irene Taylor, the founder of The Crossing Point, and to all those who know what it is to suffer abuse.
Hi, I'm Anne, and I'm part of The Crossing Point as well. I know what it's like to suffer abuse, and I'm here to tell you, you're not alone.
Please tune in on the last Friday afternoon of every month from 3 till 4 p.m.
Hi, I'm Abby, and I work for The Crossing Point too, because those who have suffered abuse or are suffering abuse need help, support and love.
This is a time to take heart, to hope and to find the courage to break the silence. Walking on eggshells, it's time to talk.
Hello, my name is John Sheep. Crossing Point is a Christian response to domestic abuse. Joining me from Crossing Point are Abby and Diane. Hello, ladies, and I'm going to go straight away to Diane. Diane, what subject are we going to be looking at today for the next hour?
Today's topic is the effects of COVID-19 on school children during lockdown.
And just for the sake of the listeners, this programme is actually being made in May 2020, in the middle of the government lockdown due to the threat posed by coronavirus. So please bear that in mind. May 2020. So when you, the listener, hear this, some things may have changed in the context of this programme being made and the things that we talk about. But I'm going to bring in Abby as well. That's Abigail Basket. And Abby, welcome back to Flame Radio. Diane, in the middle of the coronavirus threat, children and domestic abuse. With the government lockdown, with everybody supposed to be remaining at home, are children therefore under more threat?
Well, I would just say definitely, absolutely. I think one of the effects of COVID-19 has been the closure of schools. And that is obviously affecting parents and children alike. But in terms of when it comes to domestic abuse, the vulnerability has definitely increased in two ways. Firstly, being subject to an environment where abuse is taking place in the home, and whether that's either witnessing the abuse of a parent or sibling in the home, or experiencing abuse firsthand. And secondly, online abuse. Children spending more time on the internet, there is the potential for abuse to be increasing. And we will talk about the different types of online abuse during the course of the programme. In fact, there is growing concern for the safety of vulnerable children during the coronavirus, and particularly given teachers and social workers have limited access to these children, you know, the pupils, with most not taking up the places at school allocated to them. The local government association, the LGE, has already reported that councils are seeing up to a 50% decline in social care referrals of children that may be at risk. So that tells you, doesn't it, that there are kids slipping through the net, and that backs up the, you know, the whole notion of kids being more affected by abuse than ever, really, as a result of COVID-19. I would just say that with safeguarding policies in place and with appointed child protection officers, schools are prepared and expected and equipped to deal with issues surrounding vulnerable children. However, with children staying at home because of lockdown, schools will have had to look at how they apply their safety measures in a different way. And there are schools, thankfully, that are in regular contact with their pupils, where children can access information online, whether that's for, you know, study materials, for lessons, stuff like that. But not all schools are actually doing this, and there's sometimes there's nothing in place in terms of ongoing education or, you know, lessons that they can tap into for studying purposes, etc. And it's going to be particularly difficult for them and their parents. But also, not just in terms of education and what they're missing out for their studies, for their lessons, for their school plan, but I'm talking about pastoral side of things, because some of those pupils at school maybe have only ever received pastoral care in their school or felt they could share or open up to their designated child protection officer, say, in school.
Yeah.
Now, some schools aren't in touch with their pupils. They haven't put anything in place. So in terms of a child's welfare, you'll have children that are missing out on that regular contact.
Yeah.
So what's happening to that link, you know, for the child, even for the parent where there is no contact? Contact's important, you know, part of our understanding of abuse and things that surround our relationships. Contact with a trusted person is important. Having that connection, that sense of belonging is important for children. It's important for all of us, but particularly for children. And if they haven't got that connectedness, that regular contact, they're going to be even more vulnerable, and their well-being and their mental health is going to be affected as well. And we'll talk a little bit about that later. I know Abby's got lots of things to share about valuing ourselves, and particularly for children, for anyone listening, how important it is that we have that sense of self-esteem, self-worth. And we want to affirm that a little bit later on in today's programme. For those schools and teachers listening to the programme, we want to say thank you for the effort that you are putting in during lockdown to keep in touch with your pupils. You know, we really appreciate that, and children and parents will appreciate that as well. So thank you to anyone connected with school work who's doing that. And when social media is used in the right way, it can be such a positive tool and a great way for schools to keep contacting parents with information about how to keep their kids safe, as well as address the well-being of parents too. So during this program, we will give out information so that anyone listening can get the help either for themselves or for others. But it's not just schools that can get information out there. We, as adults, we're all responsible. When it comes to domestic abuse, we're all responsible to do something about it, to see it stopped, to see an end to it. So whatever opportunity comes our way to help, then we need to take it. And that's on a regular basis, not just like one-off, but regularly doing something. Any one of us can make a contribution in some way. We want to see abuse eradicated, don't we? We want to stop it happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
And every childhood is worth fighting for.
Yeah.
And staying safe takes on a different meaning when we're talking about abuse. And as I said earlier, that can be happening in relationships at home, or it can be happening online. And despite the common perception that online abuse is less impactful, NSPCC research has shown that the impact of online and offline abuse is the same, no matter how the abuse took place. And that's quite interesting. A lot of what we share today will be information that we've gleaned from various sources, including the NSPCC, including Childline. So these aren't things that we're just making up, you know, or assuming. These are facts that we're giving out today. So we mentioned at the start about the effects of COVID-19, meaning children being more susceptible to online predation. So social networking and messaging apps allow offenders to immerse themselves into the most intimate aspects of children's lives. Messages can be exchanged at night out of sight of parents and carers. And there are various ways our children can be abused online. So if it's okay with our listeners, I'd like to just explain a little bit about that, because,
okay,
you know, some parents might not be aware, might be ignorant of what's going on or not have any clue as to what online abuse is. Abby, feel free to jump in at any point, by the way. I want to talk about online sexual abuse because that is something that is increasing at this time. because of lockdown. And I'm not saying, you know, physical abuse isn't increasing, but I think particularly because this is something that maybe parents aren't aware of or haven't wised up to, they need to now. And online sexual abuse can start by building a relationship, which we call grooming, which makes the child feel important, loved, or even have a sense of obligation to, we call it the offender. And the offender might pretend to be the same age as the child and flirting with them. They want to befriend and establish an emotional connection with the child in order to lower the child's inhibitions in preparation for sexual activity, exploitation of the child. And they're able to do this by exploiting the designs of social networks, using friend and follower suggestions to infiltrate peer networks and to establish contact with children that can quickly escalate into requests for sexual messages. The adult offender might pose as someone needing help or in distress, which makes the victim less suspicious of the groomer's actions and intentions. And the groomer will want to keep things secret most of the time. Other types of sexual abuse will include webcam sex, where children involved never meet the offender face to face and all of the abuse takes place online. Again, a young person would be tricked or persuaded to sadly share a sexual image, even strip or perform acts of a sexual nature, you know. I just want to mention here some statistics as well, just to reinforce that these things are going on. You know, research took place a couple of years ago with just over 1,500 UK teenagers, and almost a third of the girls, we're talking about age between 13 and 17, so that's 31%, received unwanted sexual messages online. For boys, it was 11%. 14% of girls aged between 13 and 17 said a boyfriend or girlfriend had pressured them to share nude images. 1 in 10 of the respondents were targeted with sexual threats, such as rape. Nearly 1 in 3 young people have seen something worrying or nasty online. And I looked at the NSPCC website just very recently, and they estimate that more than 25,300 child abuse image and sexual grooming offences have been recorded by the police since the online harms white paper was published just over 9 months ago. And based on latest police recorded crime data, it's estimated an average of 1 online abuse offence against a child was recorded every 16 minutes. Online abuse can include sexting, which is, again, sending any nude or semi-nude photos by mobile phone or posting them on social network sites. There are social media pages and groups which ask people to contribute images and videos or comments about other people's sexual behaviour in order to expose them. There's cyberbullying, and this is an extension of bullying that goes on at school, but it's at home in the virtual world, going beyond the boundaries of school, and it can happen anytime and make someone feel upset or threatened in their own home. And the person who is bullying uses technology, uses websites, social networking sites, text messages and emails to embarrass, demean, harass, intimidate or threaten other people. I could elaborate, but it's a heavy topic, isn't it? It's heavy. But just to give our listeners, particularly parents or carers, a bit of an understanding of what can go on online.
Thanks, Di. As it has been heavy, should we take a break for some music? And we'll be right back with you.
I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every low. cause I need to know.
Before we had a break for some music, Di, we were talking about domestic abuse, online abuse within the government lockdown. Shall we have a look at how we can move on and how people can get help in the middle of online abuse?
Yeah, definitely. And that's the good thing. There is help. And for parents particularly that are concerned about their children and worried about what their children might be seeing, you know, or getting involved with, there are things that parents can do themselves. There's so much of childhood today is happening online. And there are, you know, as we mentioned very early on, there are more ways than ever for children to hide how they're feeling or what's going on. So as a parent or as a carer, there are things that we can do. And that is learning about the risk of internet use. So adults, you can get advice so you know how to support your child and talk to your child about online safety. There will be inappropriate and explicit content on the internet. You need to be aware of internet-connected devices. You need to have parental control. You need to be aware of sexting and sending these images where kids are pressured into doing that, or tricked, if you like, maybe, or coerced into doing stuff like that. Parents, you need to be aware of online games, the dangers of that, of live streaming, online video apps, online porn, all these things. There's information out there from Childline, particularly from the NSPCC. So rather than me repeat everything that the NSPCC would say, I would recommend you go onto their website. You just Google NSPCC and you will see loads of information on there, how you as a parent, if you're worried, or as a carer, can help your children. If you are concerned about a child or a young person, there is a helpline support for you and advice, which is all for free. So I would just give you that number. 0808 800 5000.
That number again, please.
0808 800 5000. That will give you loads of information. So if you're a parent and you're a carer, you're concerned, or you want to know a bit more about, you know, your kids being safe online, go there. CEOP, which stands for Child Exploitation Online Protection, they are part of the Think You Know education program. So whatever age your child is, maybe 4, which is horrendous when you think about it, but from 4 up to teens, there's loads of information on there. They send out activity packs. So I was talking before about parents getting involved with their kids. They send out activity packs that parents can do with their children to help them understand about what it is to be safe online, and what children can do themselves. You know.
Good.
So again, you know, go to CEOP or Think You Know or the NSPCC. All of these are great tools for parents to look at, and for children as well. So any children listening, look at these sites. They'll give you all the information. You can speak to people. They've got counsellors. They've got advisors. You can actually speak to them over the phone as well. So there is help out there. There is that information out there. What we haven't talked about is the effects of abuse. The effects of abuse are horrendous, you know, affects our mental health to a point where we can have suicidal thoughts.
Yep.
Anxiety, stress, it can affect our sleep. It can affect how we feel about ourselves. We can have shame, guilt. We can start self-harming. We can start kind of withdrawing. It might lead to eating disorders, addictions. And research has shown with children and young people in particular who live with domestic abuse, they feel powerless, they can feel responsible, they can feel confused, they can feel angry, they can feel guilty, they can feel afraid, they can feel alone. So there's a lot going on for kids and for young people. And indicators to parents might be changes in behaviour, you know, with their children suddenly becoming, you know, withdrawn or aggressive even. Again, these websites that we've mentioned, you can look on there to help you spot the signs of abuse in a child. And it might be more difficult to spot during lockdown, but they can include your child becoming more aggressive or repeated shouting, children crying for long periods of time, children being withdrawn or anxious. So there's different ways of picking up. So a parent who's unaware that their child is being abused, there are indicators to look out for. And again, you can go on to the NSPCC or Childline website and find these out for yourself. I'm conscious of giving too much information. You might be overloaded. So there are means and ways for you to get this information.
Yeah.
So I think I want Abby to look at for us the problems from abuse and how particularly they affect our mindset, our well-being.
Thanks, Di. But I'm going to bring in Abby as well. That's Abigail Basket. And Abby, welcome back to Flame Radio.
Abuse is such a varied an issue that causes trauma. It's the trauma and the fear and the circumstances around those individual situations and repeat situations that can cause a filter of negativity and pain throughout so many different areas of our lives. And as a domestic abuse charity doing this radio program, we're aware that there are very different phases and stages to being in abuse and coming out of abuse and going through recovery. But something that we're very, very aware of is that the impact of abuse and the continuation of abuse occurs while we're still in the abusive situation. And so before I just continue with some things, I just want to say the safest thing that you can do if you are in an abusive situation, if you are listening, is to be able to speak out and to get safe. So we encourage you that if you are in an abusive situation, if your children are in an abusive situation, the abuse will continue until you are able to get safe. And we encourage you to do so as soon as you possibly can. But whilst you may not be in a position, whilst you feel that you can't speak out, whilst you feel that you aren't able to get safe at this time, there are some things that we can look at to do with our mental health that can help us build, as Diane mentioned earlier, self-esteem and confidence and regain some control so that we feel more empowered to be able to take action in the situation that we're in. If you are listening and you are struggling with feeling defeated, that you've lost your hope, we understand and we want to tell you that you are doing great, doing the best that you can, and that there is hope for your unique situation. And today, if you're feeling like you've got nowhere to go and that you're stuck, if your circumstance is not changing, then the change can start with you. And raising self-esteem and confidence impacts how we move forward in life, and it impacts the decisions that we make and has an impact on the outcomes we face from those decisions. And ultimately, it positively impacts how we live our lives. So I just want to read this poem that's called Your Worth. Ephesians 1, 11 and 12 says, I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. They say never give up, never give in. Keep fighting that fight so the devil doesn't win. Through the hurt and through the pain, the sorrow and the shame, the one thing you need to remember is that tomorrow is never the same. Hold on to your hopes and dreams, for your fears are less than they seem. So to all of those who feel like they're losing the fight, and to those who feel like there's no hope in sight, take a minute to look at the sky and remember that there's something out there bigger than you and I. Just like today, the sun will shine again, the clouds and through the rain, the sun still remains, and all the darkness will fade away. So hold your head high and feel the warmth. It may remind you of what you're truly worth. That poem's by Caitlin Morton.
Brilliant.
The 24-hour National Domestic Abuse Helpline is 0808 20247. 0808 20247.
You can contact us for more information by phoning 07731 878076. 07731 878076. Or email us at info@thecrossingpoint.co.uk.
And the website is www.thecrossingpoint.co.uk.
Walking on eggshells, it's time to talk.
You're not alone.
I want to say to you today, as you're listening, that you have value, that you are lovely and you are lovable. You are precious. You are beautiful. You are good and you were meant to be here. You have purpose and you were born for a reason. And I've got some Bible scriptures here that share a little bit about how God sees you. If Ephesians 1:11-12 says, I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. Psalm 139. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. Acts 17. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day that you were born. Psalm 71. Because I love you with an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31. You are my treasured possession. Exodus 19. I am your father, and I love you as I love my son Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. John 17. His death was my ultimate expression of my love for you. 1 John 4. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. Romans 8. And if you receive my gift of my son Jesus, you receive me, and nothing will separate you from my love again. Romans 8. I am your father. Will you be my child? From Daddy God.
You're listening to Flame Radio on 1521 Medium Wave and online. This is our monthly programme, Walking on Eggshells. Abby.
You are valuable. You have worth. It might not feel like those things are true for you today as you're hearing them. And today, something that I would like to do is bring a bit of a challenge to some thinking that comes from the abuse that we may have gone through. That abuse can cause us to see ourselves in a very negative light, in a way that might not be true, but we think and believe is true. And the circumstances that we're surrounded by might give us constant messages that we have no value, that we are worthless. But that might not be true, despite that we feel that way is the truth. So I've got a checklist here of some thought patterns. But before we go through that, John, we might want to go to a song.
Okay, that's great.
Shadows of the
with some of the thinking that comes from abuse, it might not all be true. So I have a checklist here that you might identify with some things about the way that you think right now about your life. Do you think that everything is black and white and there's no grey? If you don't do something perfectly, that you feel like a failure? Or do you always use the words always or never? When you make a mistake, you say, I'll never get that right. Or does it seem that everything in your life is negative and always a series of depressing events? Do you see the positive but undermine it by saying that when you do something good, that anybody else can do that in the way that you do it? Maybe you predict negative outcomes, but there's not actually any evidence to support this outcome. Maybe you feel everything is bad and negative, and therefore it must be true because you feel it that way. Do you have high expectations of yourself and criticize you when you can't do something? Do you expect the same high standards of other people, and when they can't meet them, that it's an example of why you are the one who is undesirable? Maybe you give yourself labels associated with your behavior. For example, if you make a mistake, that you are hopeless. Maybe it's the event that goes wrong, but it's you that gets the label. Or maybe you end up taking responsibility for everything that goes wrong, when actually it's not your fault. These ways of thinking can make everyday life really challenging. Not only do we have to deal with the abuse, but everything else as well. But if we can learn to reframe challenges that come our way, we can reduce the threat that they might be to our minds, and we can become more resilient and able to function in the everyday outside of the abuse. And all of this is in the power in our minds. What we think leads to how we behave. Philippians 4 verse 4 says, finally, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, whatever is virtuous, whatever is praiseworthy, think on these things. And Paul is talking to a church here and he says, the things which you've learned through me, do them and the God of peace will be with you. And I love how God recognizes the importance of what is in our minds. And so I just want to come back to the things that I spoke over you earlier on, and just to say, how does that match with how you see yourself? And the list that I've just been through, how much of the time are you seeing yourself in these ways? Is there a possibility that the way that you see yourself is not the truth? And it's better than you actually think right now. We can ask some more questions about the way that we think and the way that we process. And it can be quite helpful to write down a thought diary in order to understand what might be true and what we're thinking and how the two compare. This is a really helpful tool for being able to understand our circumstances and to be able to understand ourselves in them. So I would encourage you, if you're wanting to transition and recognize yourself to be in a place of negative thinking because of the abuse, and you want to change your outlook in being able to see things more positively over yourself and your circumstance, that you might be able to effect change in your life in a greater way and get the help that you need, then I encourage you to begin a thought diary, but only do it if it is safe for you to do so. Only keep a thought diary and write things in it that are not going to put your life or the lives of others at risk. Here are some questions that you can ask yourself. Am I confusing what I'm thinking for a thought with fact? Am I jumping to conclusions? Am I assuming the way I am seeing things is the only way that there is? Do negative thoughts help me or make things worse? Are there advantages to thinking this way? And are there disadvantages to thinking this way? Am I thinking in all or nothing terms? Am I telling myself that I'm a bad person? Am I concentrating on my weaknesses? Am I blaming myself for something that's not my fault? Am I expecting myself to be perfect? Am I only paying attention to the negative side of things? Am I overestimating the chance of disaster? Am I exaggerating the importance of events and assuming that I can't change anything? Am I predicting my future? You have value and you are so lovely and deserve love from yourself. You are worth looking after. You are worth being kind to. You might not have this from other people right now. And that is the long-term goal, to move from a traumatic situation into one where there is safety and love. But right now, you can begin to take a journey of moving into safety through doing things that you love and build you up to a point where you're able to feel more confident to take control of your situation. So I encourage you to do a thought diary and answer some of these questions. You can look back through and see where you have similar or different responses to things. You can also choose to do some nice things for yourself and keep a diary of how that's made you feel, whether you've been prevented in doing them or whether you've prevented yourself in doing them, how you've enjoyed it and your thoughts and your worries around doing them. Maybe for younger people, that's talking with your friends, going out on your bike, playing video games. Maybe that's simply taking a cup of tea or something that you like to eat or drink. Maybe it's having a bath as a parent, taking some time for yourself where you can just have that base, get your thoughts together, enjoying a bath with some candles, painting your fingernails or doing some gardening. Record the experience of doing that nice thing, doing that thing that you might enjoy, that thing to give you some self-love and some self-care. Try it out and begin to understand some of your thinking and what you enjoy. Repeat this as often as you can to build an understanding of you and how you're thinking. For parents of children, of young people who are going through abuse, you are worthy of your time in investing in yourself. I want to say well done for the years, the days, and the months of hanging in there and fighting the fight, for not giving up, not letting go, and giving everything that you've got in investing in your children and doing the very best that you can. You've done so well to look after, defend and protect those you love in spite of all that you've faced. You are fantastic. Diane, I know you've got some things to share with parents of young people who aren't able to get into school, where the circumstances and the changes are different for those who are not seen as in a vulnerable position by school and therefore not available for getting the help that they need. What do you have to share?
Thanks, Abby. I think that's wonderful endorsement, what Abby's shared and spoken over. Yes. Listeners, whether they're young people going through abuse or adults, parents. I think it's so important to understand and accept and believe that you are valuable, that you are precious. For parents, maybe they might want to share that with children if children haven't listened to this program. And as a parent, that there'll be things there that you will want to share with your children, those positive things that you will want to say to your children. As parents, it's important to know how to support our children, how to support our children's emotions. So if you are with your children, I appreciate there may be parents out there that are separated from their children. But for those who are with their children, look at what you can do together with your child. Keep that connection with them. Keep connected. Yeah. Keep that attachment, that bond with them. You know, as I said right at the beginning, attachment is a basic human need and it provides a sense of security and protection, comfort and confidence. So as a parent, love your child in different ways. Look at what you can do with your kids to support them in their, you know, emotional state. Tell them that you love them. There's no limit to how often you tell them that you love them. Spend time with them, sit with them, do something fun together. You know, it might be a silly game or just chatting. Ask them how they're feeling. Keep track of their daily routine. Give them some boundaries. Kids need that. They actually appreciate that, believe it or not. And for families that are separated, there's still ways that you can keep in contact with your kids and have that continued relationship with them. You know, use video calls to maintain face-to-face contact. Ask if there are apps they use to talk to friends that you can download to. Ask some questions that will help you see what life's like for them. Ask open-ended questions like, you know, tell me about your day. What are some good things that have happened to you today? Tell me about some sad things that have happened this week, maybe. What's life like at home for you? You know, these are things that you can bring your relationship closer and deeper with your children. Maybe create a routine, a new routine together. Give young people, give your kids that opportunity to talk about what's going on for them. You know, that's important. Talking about things that they like or what they watch, they read, even, you know, what they've had for dinner. This might make them feel more comfortable to start with. So, you know, whether you're together or whether you're apart, there's lots of things that you can do to stay connected. And it's important that young people, that your children know that you're there for them and you'd be able to do that in different ways, as we've suggested.
And another important point to make with this is that you won't get everything right. You are not perfect, and that is okay. In all the things that we're sharing on this program and things that you can do and things that can be helpful, if you can, we encourage you to give yourself grace, to get it wrong, to be okay with making the mistake, and to get up and try again. Each day comes with new mercy and new grace, fresh every day. Every moment we have the chance to begin again. So don't worry if you don't feel like you're getting it right. It's okay.
Absolutely.
Also, Diane, there are some things that we can do with our children, like creating a stress safety plan. If your children are in abuse with you, it might be helpful for them to have a piece of paper or a chart or some protocol that you can work through with them in answering some questions and having some sentences about when they get stressed or when a circumstance happens.
Yeah.
Where can they go? Who can they talk to? What might help bring comfort in that situation? What things can I tell myself? What things can your children tell themselves in a situation where there's abuse happening or when stress occurs? What can I do in an emergency? Maybe they need a list of people or phone numbers they can go to and connect with when they're stressed.
Definitely,
or in a situation of abuse. Sometimes having that laid out can be helpful. It can bring that extra little bit of peace that says, actually, we have some control here. Actually, we have some things that we know to do, and it can bring just that extra bit of grounding in a circumstance that seems completely erratic.
Yeah, that's good, definitely. And for you to put that somewhere safe, somewhere you can, you know, get to it easily, I think that's, you know, very good advice for anyone that's going through a stressful situation that's, you know, brought on by abuse or maybe, you know, other things. Anything that's traumatic will create high stress levels in us. And when we recognize what's happening to us, there are things that we can put in place to help that stress come down and to focus our attention on something else, as Abby said, that's going to ground us. And that might be something as simple as just concentrating on your breathing, you know, taking deep breaths in slowly and thinking of something pleasant as you're breathing out. It might be something as simple as looking out the window and counting the number of trees, for instance, that you can see, or chimneys, or whatever it is. Something that just takes you away from that immediate rest situation just helps alleviate that stress. Being able to identify when that's happening, when those trigger moments are occurring, a way of dealing with that to bring those stress levels down, to counteract the intense feeling and emotion that you are going through. So putting something down on paper, who do I need to talk to now? Having a number, what do I need to tell myself? Positive things that we can say to ourselves. All these little things help just reduce that stress level and the intensity of emotion at that time.
Yeah.
You know, so these are all positive things that we can do, that our children can do. Again, if you're a parent listening to this program and you've got children, you can relay this information to them, can't you? That's a lovely way of helping them and supporting them.
That's right. Thanks, Di. Thanks, Abby. Our time is almost up. Thank you for listening. If you need further information on the crossing point...
The 24-hour National Domestic Abuse Helpline is 0808 2000 247. 0808 2000 247.
You can contact us for more information by phoning 07731 878 076. 07731 878 076. Or email us at info@thecrossingpoint.co.uk.
And the website is www.thecrossingpoint.co.uk.
Walking on eggshells. It's time to talk.
You're not alone.
Thank you for listening to Walking on Eggshells on Flame Radio. Thank you.
You take what it is and you make it beautiful. When love floods in, we're restored forevermore. With breath that brings the dead to life, with words that pierce the dark with light, only by the blood are we set free. With mercy strong to carry shame and nail it to a tree, you alone hold the power. Child of God, lift your eyes to see. With every morning light, again we are redeemed. Rejoice, O child of God.
Hi, my name is Diane and I work for a registered charity called The Crossing Point. It's a domestic abuse service in Merseyside.
Hi, I'm Abby and I work for The Crossing Point too, because those who have suffered abuse or are suffering abuse need help, support and love.
You see, there are countless people being abused every day. For some, it's normal. For some, well, they don't even know they're actually being abused. And for others, tragically, they don't live to tell the tale. And that includes at least one child a week.
When one in five children have been exposed to domestic abuse, there's a need to respond. When 62% of those children are directly harmed, there's a need to respond. When in Merseyside alone, there are 1,000 reports per year to police of child sexual abuse, there's a need to respond. When one in three women and one in six men experience domestic abuse, there's a need to respond.
When up to 60% of women experience domestic abuse during pregnancy, there's a need to respond. When there are two murders a week because of domestic abuse, there's a need to respond. When over a third of young people say they would not know where to turn for help, there's a need to respond.
The Bible talks about reaching out to those who are oppressed, speaking out for those who cannot speak for themselves. God's mandate is clear and we are responding.
We're responding through raising awareness and going into schools, speaking to young people, letting them know that someone cares for them. They're not alone. They don't have to suffer in silence.
We're responding through recovery programs for victims of abuse, both inside and outside the church walls, helping them see that the abuse was never their fault. They weren't to blame, helping them recover their self-esteem, helping them heal from their brokenness. How will you respond?
You could respond by holding a fundraiser to keep expanding our reach, or host an awareness day for your community to learn how they can help, or volunteer with the Crossing Point in your area. You could become a regular giver. A monthly donation from every listener will guarantee more lives being reached and more lives being saved from the devastation that domestic abuse brings.
If you can help, please do. It would mean so much to be able to continue the work of the Crossing Point. You can contact us for more information by phoning 07731 878 076. 07731 878 076. Or email us at info@thecrossingpoint.co.uk. If you would like to support The Crossing Point through donation or monthly giving, you can do so by cheque or direct debit, or visit our Just Giving page via our website, thecrossingpoint.co.uk. Whatever you can give will make a difference to someone.
The Crossing Point, restoring the broken paths and rebuilding the bridge to life.
Hope you enjoyed this programme, which is under the copyright of Wirral Christian Media Limited. Details of the Flame CCR broadcasts and webcasts are on our website, www.flameradio.org. Thank you for listening. Flame.